Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Talk about burnout. What is burnout? What are the signs of burnout? And what do you do when you officially are burned out and need to know the steps to getting back to being yourself? Today, we're going to talk all about burnout, the signs, the causes, and the solutions. And we're going to have a heart-to-heart about this. So my suggestion is grab your cup of coffee, your walking shoes, whatever you need to do to take a few minutes to have this conversation together. And if you're new here, welcome to the Home with Havila podcast. I will be your host and your spiritual hype girl, along with just a friend that wants to tell you we can do this. It's not always easy, but we can do this. So let's get started on today's podcast. It's been said that burnout is like a cake that's been left in the oven for far too long. It starts out with all the right ingredients, but as time goes on, yeah, it gets overcooked and it gets tough. The heat was so intense, the timing was off, and eventually the end result was something nobody wanted to indulge in. Simply, burnout happens when we push ourselves too hard for too long without taking time to rest, recharge, and refocus. Just like a cake, it's important to remove ourselves from the heat when we get burned out. Otherwise, we'll end up with something that's not only hard to swallow, but tough to bounce back from. So today we're going to talk about burnout. And, you know, I love this analogy because we do have all the right ingredients. And if it's done well and we are in the oven for the right amount of time, we come out and it's great. You know, sometimes I think we can kind of have a pendulum swing where some of us don't ever want to get in the oven because we're afraid that we're going to get overworked and overcooked and it's going to be too hard. And others of us don't know when to leave and step out and exit. And I've been in both of those places in my life. And today I have found myself in the beginning of summer really asking this question: am I burned out? Do I have adrenal fatigue? Is something going on that I'm missing? And it really started for me a couple months ago when those that were closest to me began to say things that were things I've not heard from them about me. So I have a couple men and women that I respect, and a few of them would say, you know, Havila, I'm really concerned about you. You know, you really need to take a break. You are pushing at all cylinders. I'm concerned about you. When that phrase, I'm concerned about you, comes towards me, I really start to take a look. Like, wait a minute, this is like me taking my car in to a mechanic and him saying, I'm concerned about your cylinders. I'm concerned about your fluids over here. And if I'm like, no, it's fine. I have to understand that I am not the expert in every area of my life. And if somebody says, hey, from looking at it from this perspective, I'm concerned about you, that's time for me to step back and say, okay, what do I need to do to adjust? It is not failure when someone says I'm concerned. It's compassion. It's a part of them that says, hey, I think we could probably do some things to help protect you and keep you from burning out or from basically not being able to continue. And so I've had different seasons of my life. If you have followed this podcast, you know, I had postpartum depression 3 times. I know what it's like to be clinically depressed and still love God at the same time. I know what it's like to push really hard. And if you have been with me in the last season of this podcast, you know that in last year and into this year, I had a huge wake-up call. I was pushing way too hard. And I've pushed hard in the past and I've made it through, and I have a lot of healthy boundaries and things that I do for my mindset and my heart and my marriage and all of those things. But this time, I think the way the Holy Spirit was getting my attention was through my physical body. And that is so annoying, especially when you have a body that is consistent with you and can push hard And, you know, my physical frame has been really consistent for me. And I know not everyone has that, but for me, my body has done really well. I want to say my mind at times has failed me, my hormones and all those things. But in general, my body has been pretty consistent in showing up and helping me. And this season, I really felt the burnout hit my physical frame. And so I went into recovery and we worked hard in physical therapy. And if, you know, it's a long story, I'm not going to get into all of it, but I had stenosis in my spine and we've done a lot of work. I mean, I've done almost 40 sessions of physical therapy and just trying to get it solved. And then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about taking some time off. Now, when I say this, can I be really honest? As a ministry girl, I saw a lot of ministers take sabbatical and time off. And as a working mom, I used to think, I don't understand why you get all that time off. Like, I don't know very many people that have a full-time job that can just take the summer off or can just take a month off. And I saw a lot of our ministry friends doing this. And, you know, of course, we want our souls to be healthy. We want our spirits to be alive. But as a woman who had four kids and was working, and I just had that part of me that felt almost not envious, but critical. Like, okay, that's great, but I'm not sure what you're taking time off from when most of the people around me have a working, you know, they work. That's their consistent thing, and it's good for us to work. And so even with COVID, I saw a lot of friends that didn't have to really work that hard during COVID because their churches weren't open and they weren't having to navigate all of that. They were just kind of on pause. And then they came back and they took a sabbatical. And those were hard things for me. And I'm not critical of a unique person. I'm just saying in general, that was hard because I know for myself and a lot of us, we worked our butts off during COVID. I did not have the luxury of sitting back and chilling. I was working on schooling my kids. I was working on trying to get income for our staff and for our family. And so that wasn't something that was on my radar. And I've just looked at it as it's not my story. It's not, I don't understand all the facets of that. I only know my life and my story. And so when God began to use the word sabbatical with me, I was like, no. We're not doing sabbaticals. That's for, people that, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even say what I want to say because it's not filtered and I don't even want to go there. But for me, I just thought, no, I'm not that person. But as the Lord began to speak to me, he began to really talk to me about burnout. And burnout is the reason you have a sabbatical. So you don't have a sabbatical because, you know, I just need more time off. It's mostly because we get to a point where either we need a sabbatical and our bodies will force a sabbatical, our marriages will force a sabbatical, or we get really intelligent with our story and our relationships and what we're doing in life. And we begin to kind of have a preventative measure so we stay safe and healthy and all the things. So he started using sabbatical. I was critical about it, but he began to speak to me about two types of sabbaticals in my life. Now, next week, I'm going to do an entire podcast on sabbaticals. So I don't want to even dive into all of that. But when I started talking about sabbaticals, he really challenged me to take June, July, and August off of ministry travel. So usually I travel and it's usually connected to a speaking, moment or conference or Sunday service. And I love it. And I will do that in the summer if that's what opens up. And then he also challenged me to take off the month of July for a sabbatical. And when he said it, I was like, no, we're not doing a sabbatical. And then he said to me, when is the last time you took time off in your 25 years of ministry? And when I began to look at it, I would only take time off. I had a 2-week vacation a year I would take off, or I took time off when I was recovering, right? Recovering from a C-section or recovering from, you know, something that I physically had to do, but nothing that was set out. This is what I'm doing. And I'm going to take 4 weeks. I'm going to close my computer and I'm just going to be off. And if you're a business owner or you're running a church, you know, it's scary. No one just turns off their computer for a month and just goes, this is what I'm going to do. So this took a long time for me to get to, but I want to talk for a few minutes about burnout because I really I've noticed that the way that I'm experiencing life right now is very similar to postpartum depression, but without the depression. And I want to explain that. So in my life, you know, I have a great life. I love my life. I love my marriage. I love Ben. I love the boys. I love where we live. I love our church family. I'm very grateful. It is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I love our life and I've worked hard for it. And it's really a gift. But recently in my life, in the last couple months, I've just felt this kind of like this bland feeling about my life. Like, yeah, it's great on paper, but I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. I'm not really excited about a ton of stuff. I'll do it, but it feels like I'm on the conveyor belt of just what's next. And when I started to look at that, I asked myself, am I depressed? And I could honestly say, no, I was feeling the highs and I was feeling the lows of my life and my capacity was good. But I started to feel that nothing seemed to feel exciting and, you know, nothing felt worth all the effort. And I just would rather say no than yes. And that's just not who I am and who God created me to be. And so I started to ask the question, am I burned out? Do I have adrenal fatigue? What's happening with me? I'm 45 this year. So obviously I'm moving towards that middle age space. But I started to ask, am I burned out? And what are the signs? And so when I started to research burnout, I began to realize that burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excess and prolonged stress. So burnout is connected to stress, prolonged stress, and it can either be emotional, it can be physical, and it can be mental, but it's exhaustion. It's just a fatigue that hits you. You're emotionally fatigued, you're physically fatigued, you're just mentally fatigued, and it's connected to prolonged stress. Now, remember, stress doesn't have to be, you know, something that seems stressful. And this is something that I began to realize when I began to work on my physical body. My physical therapist would say, you are just in fight or flight. Your whole body is just tight and it's in fight or flight. And I would notice when she'd be working on me, my hands would be like in a fist and I would try to relax. And I found myself just always on guard. And that's what I began to notice was, okay, when was the last time I wasn't in fight or flight, either emotionally or physically or mentally, that I wasn't on the defense? I wasn't just, you know, bracing myself. And I think that's kind of what happened during COVID, after COVID, but also just burnout is when you feel that you're on the defense. You kind of have this internal thing that says, if one more thing happens, I don't think I could do it. And you know, mentally and spiritually, of course, with God, we can do all things, but there's this exhaustion. There's kind of this, I really don't think I can do it. And then if you do have to face something, you just get so fatigued, and it's not normal for you to be that fatigued. It's just not normal for you to feel this sense of, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this. And that's really often a sign. And stress can be that way. And sometimes, because for some of us, we're all or nothing, or we can be critical of ourselves. We're like, well, I'm not going through divorce. I'm not going through cancer. I'm not going through, you know, a tragic story. So why would I be stressed? Well, stress is not about on paper what is stressful. Stress is how your body responds to the hardships, the things that are happening in your life. And stress could be connected to loneliness. Stress could be connected to a spouse. Stress could be connected to aging. So there's a lot of things that stress can just, it's like having, the way I relate it is, stress is like having a program in the background running. So you know how you get your phone and it's all juiced up and you're ready to go for your day. And then about halfway through the day, you look at your phone and you have no more battery and you think, I've not even been on my phone. And then you realize Maps has been running in the background, or, you know, something else has been running in the background, and it's been taking all of that energy, all of that battery out. That's what stress is. Stress is I start the day thinking it's going to be great. And then by lunch, I'm feeling like I've got nothing left. And you realize, oh, maybe there's a program that's running in the background that's actually stress. So it's often associated with work. But it can occur in all kinds of areas. And so just because, and again, work could be being a stay-at-home mom. You know, it doesn't have to be in a workplace. It's just connected to work. And burnout typically results in like a feeling of being overwhelmed or even detached. And it really begins to reduce your margin and your ability to perform, to get the things done you want to get done, need to get done. And it really shows up, you ready? Burnout shows up in a lack of motivation. You just don't feel motivated anymore. And so because you're not motivated, it reduces your performance, which leads you to feeling overwhelmed, which leads you to detaching and maybe even medicating to get out of what you know you should be doing. And so those are signs of burnout. And I'm not talking about having a hard day or having a Saturday that you're exhausted. I'm talking about this is where weeks and weeks go by and you have this sense of I'm not myself. So what are the causes of burnout? Well, often it's like high workload or long work hours. And so, you know, for me personally, I've really been able to navigate my workload and I do monitor when I travel, when I don't. But writing this book has been extremely stressful and hard for me. I write Bible studies every year, but a book that's for a publisher, for an editor that I don't know, and having timeframes and then expectations and not knowing how to navigate all of that was incredibly stressful, incredibly stressful. And that started really in the fall, but really it started a year ago in the fall when I signed the contract for the book. It has been a tremendous weight on me, and you think it's going to be amazing and it is just hard. And anybody who writes a book will tell you it is just difficult, but that's kind of the under, you know, that's the behind the scene that's been running in my background, and it's been taking a lot for me. Another cause for burnout is just a lack of control or autonomy. So often we can get burned out because we're working with a team of people and we have no control to make changes or to alter things. Sometimes we're grouped in with a certain group of people and we don't have any autonomy. We don't have any sense of power and, control and even decision power to change. And if that's happening, we can often get burned out because we've just been on the conveyor belt of somebody else's choices and somebody else's decisions. And that can cause burnout. Another one is really poor workplace culture. So like where you are working, the people that you work with, if there's just not a great culture, if it's critical, if it's, backbiting, if it's gossipy, if it's not encouraging. And then on top of that, you just feel a lack of support from either your lead or maybe from your employees or maybe from your staff or just from the people that you live with. It can actually cause burnout because you're just feeling this huge load of I don't like living in this culture. This culture is taking a lot of confidence, a lot of peace, a lot of joy for me. And then when I'm trying to change it, or I just don't feel any support to do what I need to do. Sometimes burnout comes from conflicts of demands and even unrealistic expectations. And I honestly could say this is very real for me. Unrealistic expectations. I expect myself to be 20. I expect myself to get it done, to get up every morning and have the energy and do it. And so it is exhausting when I can't do what I want to do. That's annoying, especially as you get older. You want to do it. You know you can do it. You've done it before. And it's almost like it's just your mind and your body is not showing up at the way that your brain is. And it's just, come on, let's do this. And so unrealistic expectations means that you're burning the candle at both ends. You're running hard in the morning all the way to the evening. And you're doing that over and over again because you have this expectation that it's all going to look this way or it should be this way or you should be able to pull this off. And it's actually causing burnout. And then, you know, we can't forget kind of the main one as well, which is just personal stress, whether it's financial. If you're in financial stress right now and it has been consistent and difficult and you feel that you're holding that weight alone, you're scared or you're feeling powerless, that can be a massive stressor. And if you've had financial stress for a long time, whether it's been months or a year or years, that can cause burnout because you're just feeling the weight of how am I going to, you know, make brick out of straw? I don't know how to do this. And then also relational problems, whether it's, you know, your marriage is tough. And, you know, when you're in conflict all the time at home, you have no safe place. And so that can cause a lot of burnout because you're just navigating these kind of landmines of conversation, decisions, things that are really tough. I can even feel that having teenagers in the house, I could see how that could be challenging because nothing is really sacred anymore. You know, you go in the living room and someone's there and they have an opinion about what you're watching and where you need to take them and all the things, or, you know, just family problems, just not being able for it to be simple. I was laughing with a friend of mine when we both have like tweens and teens, and we were saying, you know, there was something about putting all of our kids to bed at 7:30 at night and having 3 hours all to ourselves. Like, talk about recovery and rest. And now our kids stay up, you know, until we tell them to go to bed, and it's late. And by the time we wake up, they're waking up too. And it's just, you have no time. And if there's already tension in that relationship, it can be really exhausting. So what are the signs of burnout? What are the signs? First is just chronic fatigue. You know, you just feel tired all the time. And you might be thinking, you know, I just need to get on vacation. I just need a good night's sleep. I just am not myself. And that might be true. You might be low in iron. You might be low in fluids, but this is something that just, you're like, I am tired all the time and I got a good night's sleep and I'm taking my vitamins. I just feel exhausted. But another one is just not being able to sleep. So insomnia is a great sign of burnout as well. If you're not sleeping and you usually sleep good and you usually do really well, and all of a sudden you're just up at night and you're not getting a good night's sleep. You might have physical symptoms like a headache or digestive issues. You know, for me, I am sleeping good right now. I don't have, any super physical things that are a sign of burnout. For me, it really comes down to that exhaustion. But I do feel sometimes I'm getting more headaches and I'm getting just more, like my stomach is a little bit less calm and I can feel my body is just, it's almost waiting for it to not be okay. And that sounds terrible, but you know what I'm saying? If you are in this season, you get it. Decreased immunity, being sick all the time. You know, someone once said to me that sometimes our body will, you know, if we don't give our body a break, our body will give us a break. I had a family member who every time we'd go on vacation, he would get sick, usually the day of or the day we got there or the day after, and he would be sick 4 or 5 days of that vacation. And we used to say, you know, it's your body. You basically went to the finish line and then you would just be sick the whole vacation because your body is almost like set up to recover. And so that sickness, some of you get sick all the time. Maybe you're getting sick more and more. And I'm saying it's actually a sign of burnout. It's not just a sign of, you know, allergies or whatever that might be. So, for most of us, I think it really shows up in, reduced productivity, lack of motivation, negativity. Burnout can actually, a sign of burnout can be that you're just negative and you're critical and you have kind of increased cynicism. And that's another sign. For me, this is very, very much real, is the withdrawing from social situations. And I really like to be with people. And I don't mind, you know, as long as I have some space in my life, I like to pop in at least and see some people. And then I'm not a massive social person. I don't have something every day. I'm not always a yes, but there's this part of me that I start to have this anxiety of, is this event going to cost me so much that when I get home, I'm not going to have enough mental space, physical energy, whatever it is. And that was kind of a sign of burnout for me, a loss of enjoyment and activities that I once enjoyed, and then obviously depression or anxiety. So those are just clear things that if you're dealing with. Now, I think as a society, we definitely have all of these we can kind of see. But I'm talking about this is out of the norm. Something is happening where you're just not yourself. And it could be depression and anxiety, and those are definitely signs of it. So burnout is serious. And it can have lasting effects on us. So this is the stuff that I've been studying and beginning to understand, is that it's really important to recognize the warning signs and to take action to prevent that. Because if we don't, then we can actually send ourselves into a physical, you know, illness or something that's happened that will actually hurt us long term. So that's really important. I think depression and anxiety could really be detrimental to our future. And so really seeing that as urgent and doing the thing we need to do to get better and healthy. And for some of us, you know, we might burn bridges because we're tired and we're exhausted and we say things and we quit working and we quit marriages and we quit, you know, the things we love because we're burned out. And instead of knowing it's burnout, we think it's us. And so giving ourselves permission to look around and say, maybe I'm burned out. because I know I love this. This is me. I just need some space and time to figure it out. So if you are experiencing burnout, the first thing I want you to do, and what I did personally, is I reached out for help. So I have a couple ways that I reach out for help. One of the ways I reach out is just in my relationships, with my small group or with my close friends and family. I just say, guys, I'm burned out. I'm gonna actually take some time off. And then they kind of give me feedback. Yeah, I noticed this, or I noticed that, or have you tried this? And so I'm able to just tell everybody, I'm gonna take the next, you know, couple months and I'm gonna begin to recover in my burnout stage. And so if you don't hear back from me, or if you just want to hang out in July, let's hang out, but I'm probably not going to talk about work. And, you know, everyone seems to be very gracious with that. And then I also have a counselor that I'll go to and ask. And so that was one thing that I did in April and May. Specifically, my sessions were around burnout and around understanding what is right, like what is normal and what is not normal. For me personally, I don't know if you're like this, I just want to know what's normal. It doesn't mean that I want to live in the normal stage, but I want to know, is this critical or am I okay? And so having a professional be able to tell me that's normal or let's adjust here, to me, it's just like a doctor that says you're low in iron or you need vitamin D, and I can say, great, let's add that in. And so I started making adjustments in the spring. So I think that's very, very important. And then beginning to ask yourself, you know, what can I do to decrease my burnout? So for some of us, it's going to be abstinence. We're going to have to take time off, whether it's you have 3 weeks of vacation stored up on your workplace and it's time. You need to take those 3 weeks, unplug, and begin to restore. For others of us, we have babies at home and that's really hard. So that might mean that we shore up our morning routine and our evening routine to get space and begin to get healthy again in our hearts and in our minds and give ourselves permission to take a season to restore and recover. And, you know, for others of us, it means we need to make some massive changes. It's how we live. It's where we work. It's where we, our friends are. And it's just causing us to lose that joy of the life that we're living. And we are being more loyal to the idea of this than it is really the thing we need. So I think it's really important as we go into this journey, and I'm going to talk about a sabbatical, which is kind of the second part of this. So if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to jump into next week. And next week is about a sabbatical and how you do that and the benefits of that. So we'll talk more about that. But I just want you to remember this. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, I think I am in burnout, I want you to know that you are not alone in this battle against burnout. I'm with you and the Holy Spirit has your back. And God's help is always at hand. He's here to help you. So you don't have to be afraid. You are not alone. If you don't know what to do, the good news is you have a in-house therapist. It's called the counselor, the Holy Spirit. It's going to help you know what you need to do because he created you. He knows you and he knows exactly the thing that you need to help you become the person he's called you to be. If you're feeling overwhelmed and exhausted, I want you to take a step back. Maybe, you know, close your eyes after this podcast and just take a minute to pray and ask for a divine intervention over your life. Ask him to help you, you know, and trust that God has the answer and it's going to come to you and that you'll have the strength and resilience to overcome this challenge or this challenging time. My main like charge to you today is to keep pushing through and know that you're capable of achieving the greatness with the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. I want you to know that you've got this, that this podcast is a divine invitation to understand that you are not just a robot. You are a human being. You're a child of God and that you need to take great care of the person that he's created in you. And God does not have to abuse you to use you. And so take time to really consider, am I in burnout? Do I live with someone who's in burnout? Maybe my pastor's in burnout or my mom's in burnout or my best friend's in burnout. And I need to actually extend some grace and begin to understand how I can support them rather than criticize them. All right, you guys, I hope you love this podcast. I'm excited about this next couple of podcasts together because we're going to tackle this topic and it's really close to my heart and how I'm doing my life right now. And most importantly, if you loved this podcast, will you leave me a review? I know. It's like, Havila, I don't even know how to do that. I promise it's easy. And it's my greatest gift. It's the way that other people find this podcast. So leave a little review, some stars. I read every single one of them. And if nothing else, have a great week. I'll catch you next time. on the podcast.